Believe you all brought them in from the highways and the byways. Well, it's good to see all the young ones here tonight. And just a note before I even get started with them, I'm sure none of you all ever do it here, but you've heard the statement already, and that is that these young people are the church of tomorrow. That's not true. They're the church of today. They're a part of the church today, just like anyone else is a part of the church today. If they're not a part of the church today, they're not going to be a part of the church tomorrow. And so it's a play on words, but it's a blessing to see all these young faces that don't have wrinkles. And you're smiling and you're waiting to see what's next, right? Well, I have a story for you that happened probably about 70 years ago, but I wasn't there because I haven't lived that long. But this is a story about some of my older brothers and sisters. Exactly, actually, one of my older brother, and then I think it was two of my older sisters. And it happened about around 70, 71, 72 years ago. And as I told y'all last night, that my dad grew up in Pennsylvania. His name was Stahlsfuss, and that's why my name is Stahlsfuss. And so we know that Stahlsfusses come from Pennsylvania, and that a lot of Stahlsfusses in Pennsylvania are Amish. And they wear the hats with the straw hats with the big brims. Well, my mother was also Amish, but she was not from Pennsylvania. She was from Ohio. So what we called those people, we call those Ohio Amish, and we called my dad's, where he would come from, that was Pennsylvania Amish. Well, so my mother and father, they married each other. They met each other, and then they got married, and they lived in Pennsylvania for several years after they were married, and then they decided to move back to Ohio because I think my mom wanted to be back with her family. She wanted to be where her parents and her other brothers and sisters lived, which was in Ohio. Well, you know what happened when they moved back? My oldest brother, I think, was like probably 8 or 9 years old, and then I had two sisters that were just younger than him, and so they were probably about 6 and 7 years old. So those three, when they moved back to Ohio, they took them and they put them in a school. You know, of course, your children have to go to school, right? Well, the school that they went to was a one-room school, what we call a one-room Amish school. And so they were in that school for just maybe 3 months or something like that. And my mom seen what was happening, and she decided, and I'm sure along with my dad too, but as my brother tells the story, it was my mom that really was upset about this, but she took those children out of that school and put them in a different school, another Christian day school. Now, why do you think that somebody would do that, to have children? Like, if you'd be in a school for only 3 months and then your mom and dad would take you out of that school and put you in another school, what would possibly be a reason? Can you think of any? What do you think? They didn't like the school. Okay, anybody else have any ideas? It wasn't a good education? Okay, those are all good answers, but they're not the right answer. Did anyone else want to try it?
It's not Christian.
Well, that's a good answer too, but it was a Christian school. So, you're not going to guess it, I don't think. The reason she took, what was it?
They were
what? Oh, maybe that could be because it was such a small room. That could be, that's a good thought. Well, that wasn't the reason either. The reason she took them out of that school is because when my older brother and his sisters went to that school, the other students made fun of them because, you know why? They dressed funny. And you know what I said last night here, that as I looked out here, I said, this is a bunch of funny-looking people. They're strange-looking people out here. But it's just because I don't know most of the people here. Well, what happened is these children made fun of my older brothers and sisters because they were dressed funny. They were dressed the way the people in Pennsylvania dressed their Amish children. But you know what was interesting about the story? This one-room Amish school had only Amish students in it. So the other children that were making fun of my siblings, they were also Amish, but they were Ohio Amish. So they were dressed funny in a different way. But you know what? That's what happened. It was so bad that they decided to take my brothers and sisters out of that school and put them at a different school because they just thought it just can't be. But if anyone else would have looked in on all of those children at that school, anyone that wouldn't have been Amish or Mennonite, they would look at that and they would probably have thought that all of those children look like they're dressed the same. But those children made fun of my brothers and sisters. And that's not very nice, is it? Well, you know, it today, one of those men now, and he's like 80, he's like 81 years old, but he talked to my brother about this here a while back, and he said, you know, I'm sorry to say, but he said, I was probably one of those boys that made fun of you for being dressed the way you were. But you know what? God forgives when we do wrong. And you know what? Today, that man is a real good friend of my older brother, even today. And so that's the good news of that story. But have you ever heard the words, and maybe you said these words, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Ever heard that? Anybody ever heard that? Any of y'all ever said it? You know what? That's not true. Sticks and stones can break your bones, but words also, they hurt real bad sometimes when we don't say kind things to others. And you always want to be careful of the words that you use with other children, even with other adults, even with your parents, even with your school teachers, because sometimes when we say these things and sometimes I'm just mad and you just say exactly what you want to say, and then later you think, oh, that was so wrong that I did that, and I wish I had never said those words. I wish those words would have never come out of my mouth. But you know, you can't ever go and get those words and take them, put them back in and put them back away. You can always say, I'm sorry. And people, they usually about always will forgive you when you apologize. But you can't never unsay something. So sometimes it's always better to not say something that you shouldn't say than to say it and then to say you're sorry. It would be better to not have said those words. So we always have to be careful when we talk. And sometimes we get angry, but we have to be careful when we're angry. It's just like, you know what? I'm just not going to say exactly what I want to say because I'm not going to say very nice things right now. Okay? So always be kind. And remember, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words also can hurt you very badly. Yes?
Why did you say little brother?
Did I say little brother? I'm the little brother. He was my big brother. That's right. I'm glad you caught that because he's 20 years older than I am, so he's really pretty old. Do y'all know the song, Be Ye Kind One? It's just a real short song, Be Ye Kind One to Another, Be Ye Kind. Yeah? Okay. Miss Diane back here, she's gonna sing it for you. She wants y'all to help her. Isn't that the way we agreed to? Go ahead and start it. Be kind one to another, be ye kind. Be kind one to another, be kind. Ephesians 4:32 tells us what we ought to do. Be kind one to another, be kind. Okay, thank you for listening. And one more thing, tomorrow night, I'm not going to do a children's class, but I am going to tell a story when I start out preaching, and it's going to be a story about a grizzly bear and something else. And it's an animal that a grizzly bear doesn't want anything to do with. An animal that a grizzly bear is afraid of. So tomorrow night, when you come, you'll be thinking about that, and you think of what that animal could be that a grizzly bear that might be afraid of. Okay? You can go back to your parents. Thanks. What an encouraging group of youngsters. None of them fell asleep on me. Thank you all, each one, for coming out, and we greet you in that name of Jesus, that name that is above all names, the reason that we get together and we can be joyful. We can be joyful in the midst of hard times. And I can't help but look at a crowd like this evening and know that there's things on your minds. There's things that are going through your mind, and there's issues that you're struggling with, and like, how am I going to bring resolution to it? But tonight, through this service, I hope that we can bring some hope, we can bring some encouragement to your life, and to see how we can deal with situations that come up in each one of our lives on a daily basis, and in how we can deal with them. I've entitled the message, The Heart of the Matter, or maybe the conclusion of the matter. Last night, as you might remember, I shared about relationships and how we can build relationships. And I've said this numerous times. I don't think I said it last evening, but I want you to think of this as we go through this weekend, and that is that relationships are everything in life. Everything besides relationships is just filler. When you think of that, relationships in life are so important, and you can start with our relationship with God and right on down the line. Relationships are so important in our life as we deal with day-to-day circumstances and day-to-day issues. I want to look at 1 Peter 1, verses maybe 3 through 9, and just pick up just a few. That's not my passage I want to look at. I want to look at Hebrews 13 later on, but just to kind of get our mind set on thinking here, and that is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Notice there he says he has begotten us again. So he has brought us back to life the second time. That's talking about salvation. That's talking about being born again. And that is something that we can experience as God's children, those of us who I shared last night that are being sanctified, those of us who are perfect as we continue to be sanctified. Then he goes on in verse 4, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation." Through faith for salvation. You are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. So it's not through works, but it's through faith, and through this faith that we have in, we believe that Jesus is who he said he was, and therefore that brings us and keeps us in that salvation. "In this you greatly rejoice," verse 6, "though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials," and haven't we all, "that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." And New King James here says joy inexpressible. But King James says joy unspeakable. It's joy that there's no way we can even describe it. And when you live out that life, brothers and sisters, when you live out that way of doing things, when you react and you respond to situations that come up in your life in a certain way, and you have this joy that no one can take away from you, people are going to, they might mock you, they might scorn you, but they're going to walk away from you and they're going to say, "What is it? What is it about him? What is it about her?" By the way you live your life, brothers and sisters, you will cause people to lay down under a pillow at night and not be able to sleep. And that's the way God wants us to live, is to make our lives be such as when people come in contact with us, they say, "There's something different about it. There's something different about her." So let's keep that in mind, that we rejoice with joy unspeakable. Doesn't mean that we rejoice. It doesn't mean that we're happy and we're giddy because life is just all peaches and cream. Life is not all peaches and cream. There's times we go through hard times, and there's maybe a lot of times we go through hard times. And do we understand why life treats one person this way and life treats another person? I don't understand it, and I can't explain it. But I know God is faithful. God has provided a way for us to escape. He has provided his son. He has given us the grace that we need to go through everything that we face in our lives. And he does not give us that grace until we need it. And for that, I'm so grateful for. I want to touch base back with a little bit more of what I shared last evening on our relationships. And I want to speak a little bit on things that maybe as we go through life, as we deal with people, you know, someone said already that life wouldn't be near the struggle that it is if it weren't for the people. Well, I'm sorry, we can't get around that one. We're going to have to deal with people, whether it's good, whether it's bad. And every day, most of us have to deal with people. But looking at things that might tear down relationships, and this is by no means the all-inclusive list, but one of them is for me to deal with the attitude of bitterness in my life. And tomorrow night, Lord willing, I want to share on the root of bitterness. But again, when I look out across the group here, there's not a one of us here that haven't had to deal with situations that would give us good opportunity to have bitterness in our lives, to have unforgiveness in our lives. There's things that happen that it's not fair. It's not fair that it happened to you. It's not fair that it happened to you. It had not happened to someone else. And then maybe you had something bad happen, and then something else right on top of that happens again. We don't understand. But God does not even waste experiences that he allows us to go through. And sometimes we make our own experiences. Maybe sometimes there's things that happen. It's because of the way I have maybe done something or the way I haven't done something. But then there's times that we go through life and bad things happen that there's no explanation. We can't figure out why. But bitterness and not letting go of the past, not forgiving those things that have happened in the past. Another thing that can tear down relationships with each other in our daily lives, and that is, and maybe you don't have this problem, but I do, and that is making someone else look foolish. Maybe by what they say, something that they don't say it just quite right, and I'll pick up on that. And it's one of those things what I shared with the children is like, sometimes some of those things come out that I say, and it's like, I didn't want to say that. And if we can watch our tongue to where there's just things that just don't have to be said sometimes. But that is something that can tear down relationships. Another one is one that I kind of hesitate to bring up because it's kind of like what I'm doing this weekend. And that is talking about myself. But Brother Arlen, he asked me to come, so you can blame it on him. But life is made up of experiences, and so what has formed me, what has formed my opinions, what has formed my relationships, what has formed my character is the experiences that I go through, whether they're good or bad. And so when I share those with you, I can only hope that through those experiences that I've gone through, that somehow you can use that and you can build on that and use it for your own life, for your own encouragement. But always talking of my own self when I'm talking with someone else, rather than allow them to do the talking. Another one that can tear down relationships, and we could go a long time on this one, but that is this little guy right here. This thing is so neat that you can do a lot of things with it, and you can even make a phone call with it if you need to. But how many times have you been talking with someone, you've been in conversation with someone, and a question comes up? Maybe you're sitting in the living room, and you're just having a good general conversation with maybe several people. And a question might come up about how many cubic yards of water are in all the oceans. It doesn't take but about 2 seconds for someone to pick this little guy up and ruin the conversation. It's called searching Google. And I'm not saying that searching Google is always wrong, because it is a great help. But What about sometimes where we just have conversations and we just leave Google out of it? And we just have some dialogue back and forth and we use our minds and we try to think, well, I wonder how tall Mount Everest really is. What is it? But don't allow this to break down relationships. Another one that can tear down relationships is complaining. One that is ungrateful, maybe ungrateful a lot of times. Who of you likes to go to someone and I just know when I'm going to go to Brother Arlen that, and I'm going to ask him how he is, that he's going to tell me that one of his best cows just died and that his car broke down and his wife hit a deer. And, you know, there's a time for those things. But there's other times that we don't really need to hear all of that right now. But someone who is always down, who is always complaining, who is always just, they don't have anything good to say. And I'm reminded of a lady, she's been dead and gone probably for 20 years now. And Gina, you would know who it is, be Amanda Overholt from our area. But she was the sweetest lady that you would just know of. But she, as she was getting older, I think she was maybe close to 90 years old, and she went into the local doctor there just for a checkup, and I forget what was ailing her. But as she went back into the exam room, and Dr. Henry sat down with her, and he chatted with her a little bit, and he said, "So Miss Amanda," he said, "so what brings you in here today? What's the problem here today?" And you know what she said? She said, "Well, I don't want to complain." And then he had a good response. He said, "Well, you can, because I am the doctor, and I kind of do need to know what's going on with you in order to diagnose and try to treat you." But that is the other side of someone who they don't ever complain. You cannot get a complaint out of them. And how special it is to be around people like that. What about someone who drains your energy? Like, you know, when this little device rings, you look and you're like, this is going to take energy. This person is going to maybe take a lot of time. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't call, because your pastors, they're there for you. So I'm not at all insinuating that you shouldn't be calling your pastors, you shouldn't be calling other people and bearing your heart at times. But there's, and each one of those people, each one of us have people in our lives like that, that you know that when they call, that it's going to be something that they're going to be asking you for something. They're for sure not calling you to want to give you something. That's again something that can break down and pull a relationship downward. What makes you want to be around somebody, or what makes you not want to be around somebody? You ever think of that? I do. There's, and this is not even bad, but again, there's times that someone might call, and I don't hear the phone, so I don't answer it, of course. But then there's other times that someone might call, and I'll look and I'll see who it is, and I don't take the call, because I'm at a point to where I'm at this point here, maybe in my truck, and I've got 3 minutes to get to my destination, and I've got an appointment. And I'll look at that, and I'll know that that phone call cannot last only 3 minutes. It will go longer than 3 minutes. But there's some that will call, and I'll look at the name, and I'm like, I know that that phone call will last maximum 45 seconds. That call I will answer. But again, those are all things that we deal with, each one of us, I'm sure, in our lives from day to day. Enough of the negative. Now let's look at some of the positive. What are some of the things that build up relationships? The one is being genuinely interested in what someone else is saying. And that can be hard to do. How many times could it be that I'm listening, or supposedly listening, to what you're saying, but while you're speaking, I'm formulating my response. I'm reformulating what I'm going to say. What about if, and I've learned this from Brother Bob Webb, this is one of his things that he has shared already. And that can be hard to do, especially for a preacher. And that is when someone is speaking to you. Maybe it can be in person or it can be on the phone. And you just listen. You do not respond. But as you listen, you can say, just to let them know you're there, you're actively listening, and you are paying attention, and you're taking in what they're saying. And how valuable is that when we do that active listening, and then even after that conversation's done, and you could even tell that person, you know what, I'm not going to respond to the questions that you're going to ask me right now. I just want to listen. So you put those questions at me. But then after this conversation's over with, I'm going to process that, and I'll get back with you in a day or two, and we'll talk about it some more. That's valuable, because most likely the conclusion that you'll come to in a day or two from now could very likely be different than the conclusion you come to right away on the phone. Now, there's times that you don't have that privilege of waiting a day or two. There's times that, especially for leaders, as parents, as those that have authority, those that have jobs that have to make decisions, there's times that you have to make a split-second decision. I'm not saying that, but there's other times that if it can wait to be for the decision to be made in order for you to process it, you to think about it, you to pray about it, and ask God's direction, that's invaluable. And it will also mean a lot more to the person that you respond back to later. What about this one? And I'm sure none of you are guilty of this one. I am. Allowing someone else's story to stand without you having a better one. That's hard. That's hard for some, and especially someone like me who, I enjoy talking. But when someone has a good story, and when they're done with that story, you say, wow, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty incredible. And allow that story to stand rather than say, well, you know what, boy, that reminds me, it was way bigger than this yet, and it happened to me. And again, there are those times that you can do that in a conversation. But I'm just saying, be aware of those times that you can allow someone else's story to be the best story of the hour, to be the best story in that party of six that's sitting around the breakfast table at the restaurant. Being grateful and expressing gratitude. That is one that I've just been made so mindful of, and that is, even if your waiter, your waitress didn't give you the best service, but that you express gratefulness for what they did, for the way they served you. You express gratefulness in what you can be honest about and say that they did a good job at. Because there's always something that we can be grateful for. But we usually gravitate towards the other side of it, don't we? Saying, well, they could have done so much better. I'm going to let them know. And therefore, I will not give them a good tip. How much of our witness even is determined by that? By when they see you and they know that you are a follower of Jesus. And I've kind of made this just my own policy, and that is, and it helps me. It helps me get through my own attitudes, and that is, even if the service is terrible and the food isn't good, that I still leave a good tip. Because what I've thought about is, as bad an attitude as my server had that day with me, as bad as they served me, they're still going to go home tonight, and they got to stop at Walmart, they've got to stop at Ingles, they've got to stop at the grocery store, they've got to stop at the gas station, and they need money to buy their food. Just because they gave bad service doesn't mean that their children don't need milk, doesn't mean that their children don't need cereal. They still need money to function. It's just money. And it can harm or maybe even destroy our witness by us responding in a wrong way in a scenario like that. Another one, being there for someone. Being there for someone, maybe that doesn't even deserve it. Maybe someone who wasn't really that nice to you. And I'm saying being there, maybe stopping by to visit them, or maybe just picking up the phone and giving them a phone call, maybe picking up the phone and sending them a text. That's valuable. I spoke of that a little bit last night, of just sending out a text, of letting somebody know you're thinking of them. It happened again tonight to me. Place where we stopped in Hillsville at overnight, I dropped some material off at another place, and this gentleman used to live down in our area, and so he knew I was coming up here. He sent me a text this evening about 5 o'clock and said, "Jerry, I'm praying for you. Hope all goes well." What a blessing. But how many times do you think, "Oh, what's he going to think if I send him that?" Nah. Do it. Do those little things that will make a difference. Now, when you give someone that phone call, be aware that they might be 3 minutes from their destination. And there's times that you want to just call and just say what you want to say and hang up the phone. And you can tell by their response that they're hanging on and they're wanting to talk some more. Then it's okay. But be very conscious and be very respectful of their time. What about taking the risk for someone else? And again, I shared about that last night, of even taking a financial risk. And I'm not talking in huge areas, but things to where you would encourage someone to do something, and even if it doesn't work, that you'll pay for it. But there's people out there who don't have the courage, or they don't think about it, that they could actually go ahead and do that, and that at the very, you know, at the very worst, this mistake, if it doesn't turn out right, could cost me $20 or whatever. But be willing maybe to take that risk for someone else and say, "You know what? Go ahead and do that, and if it doesn't turn out right, I'll take care of it." And there's probably not a one of us here that wouldn't be able to put out an extra $20 or even maybe an extra $50 at some point if we'd really have to, in order to be an encouragement to someone else. What about when there's situations, when there's problems, when someone has wronged you, when there's conflict? What about if you would go back, and even if you're just wrong out of 100%, you were 5% in the wrong. What about you going and apologizing for that 5% of your wrong and leave it? And don't try to put a guilt trip on the other person, but you take care of the wrong that you were involved in on that, even the smallest percentage of it. That builds relationships. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 speaks of the armor of God, and I won't turn to that. But there's one verse in there that says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness." Too many times I look and I put a name to the person that I'm fighting against, and it's like, "Boy, Leroy, he's really giving me a hard time." And Leroy hasn't given me a hard time. But put any name in there on someone that you have a struggle with, that you've had a confrontation with. What it is Satan is out there to kill, to steal, and destroy. And if he can do anything, and especially if he can get brothers and sisters in Christ to come at odds with each other, he scored. Let's not allow him to do that. Let's not allow him to have that privilege of coming between us, but to recognize that there is a battle going on. Satan is battling for the souls of people. And it also talks about having the gospel of peace. And then also to recognize that, you know, I can't help but look out amongst the audience and say, there's a lot of you. You need help. You need assistance. You need somebody to straighten you out. And people look at me and say, "Jerry needs somebody to straighten him out." But you know what? For the most part, for the most times, it's not up to me to straighten you out. And it's not up to you to straighten me out. But it is up to you to love me. It's up to you to pray for me. And it's up to me to love you and to pray for you. But how many times am I so careful to not give a brother a pat on the back and say, "You know what? I appreciate you in the way you," and then pick on something that they do really well. But how many times, especially for us men, the ladies, you do a lot better with that than us men, but us men could use a lot of improvement in that arena. But relationships do matter. The relationships first with God, then husband and wife, our brothers and sisters in Christ, relationships with those in our community, those relationships with those that we work with. All of those are very important in how we deal with them. And when it's a bad relationship, when it's a bad response on my part, people don't forget. And so how much better is it to even allow myself to be defrauded for the sake of someone looking at me and not thinking ill of who my Lord and Savior is because of who I say I serve. Hebrews 11:23 says that Moses, when he was born, it says, by faith, his parents hid him for 3 months. And it says, because he was a beautiful child, but I don't know if he'd have been an ugly child if they would have not done that. But it says he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. So I'm sure it was their child, so they loved him. But it says they were not afraid of what the king said. And in Hebrews 11:24-27, again, that same story. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He forsook Egypt. And the question I have for you, are you willing to forsake Egypt for the cause of the gospel? Are you willing to forsake Egypt and live for your king? Have you ever thought about it, that someone who is not afraid, period, someone who is not afraid is an unstoppable force and is to be feared. People are afraid of someone who is not afraid. When you're one and you're not even afraid to give your life physically to the point of death, I'm talking, for what you believe in, that's when people look and say, there's something to this religion that you have. And it's way more than a religion. It's that relationship with Jesus Christ. Because for me to live is Christ, and to die is even better. Well, I want to look just briefly at Hebrews 13. We don't want to get too late here because the pizza party is going to be after a while, and we want to enjoy fellowship with each other there too. But in Hebrews 13, there's several verses that I want to allude to. And the first one is in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. And you know, the Bible never commands us to do something that is something that we just do automatically. So here he's saying, let brotherly love continue. So we could take in conclusion from that the likelihood for us as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we could turn against each other. So it means that we have to take action to maintain that love with each other. Then it says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. And then let's skip on down to verse 5. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things that you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Then dropping on down to verse 9, just the first part there. No, you know, let's back up a little bit. Verse 7, and this is by no means a conclusive doing justice to the chapter 13 here in Hebrews, but it says, to remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. And again, it says to remember those, and it's talking about your leaders, your those that stand in front of you, those who give direction for the congregation. So when he's saying for you to remember, that means that you must have the tendency to forget, to remember. But it says, considering the outcome of their conduct, Then he says, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Then do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines. And I don't believe here, and we'll talk more about this Sunday morning, about strange doctrines, but this part here is not talking about the strange doctrines as what we would think of sometimes. But it says, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods that have not, which have not profited those who have been occupied with it. In other words, God has said, eat. You know, these things, he's given us food to eat, and we don't have to be worried about some of these things of people come up and say, oh, you can't eat this, you can't eat this, and you can't eat this because of. But as God's people, he has said, we can eat, and we won't go much into that at all. But down in verse 14 is a verse I want to really highlight too. It says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. That's why you act the way you do. That's why you build relationships with those around you. Because this where we live here, you're only going to be here 70 years plus at the best. We have no continuing city here, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, remember what I said last night? Whenever you see the word therefore, you always look back and see what it's there for. So because we have no continuing city here, let us continue to offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It doesn't even say here, you know, give thanks to his name, but you know, be sure to sometimes complain too, because you don't always just want to be grateful. No, it doesn't say that. He doesn't have to tell us something that we have the tendency to do already. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Then again, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. There's that word that we don't like, right? But every one of us, in whatever arena of life we're in, we have to be submissive to those that are in authority over us. Every one of us has people that are in authority over us. It doesn't matter what arena of life you want to look at. But here it's talking about those who have been ordained, those who have been called leaders in the church. It says, for they watch out for your souls as one who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. To where it doesn't mean that your leaders don't have to deal with issues. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't come to your leaders when you have problems. But it does mean to pray for them. Remember to lift them up in prayer. Remember to encourage them because they need that. Because they have feelings just like you do. And maybe so often they don't show them, maybe like they should even, in order that you could know a little bit more what's going on inside their head. But they stay strong for their people. But remember, your leaders is what he's saying. And then I like verse 20, and I'll close with that. That word, N-O-W, says, now. Now, after you've done all these things, after you've looked at this and you've practiced these things in your life, it says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, watch, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. A challenge for us to remember, we do not have a continuing city here, but we are looking for, we are waiting, we are anticipating that city that is to come. And Lord willing, Sunday evening, we'll be speaking more on that. And just in these last verses here in Revelation 21, John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Watch verse 4. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. You know what that says? That says that you're going to go through some hard times. You're going to go through some times that you don't have the answer to. And I know you know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about because I've done that. We've all gone through those times that the tears flow. We don't have the answers. We don't know. We say, why is this happening? But it says here, there is coming a day God will wipe all tears away from our eyes. He will wipe our tears. It says, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son, and also daughters. Can we keep that in the focus of our mind as we go through life, that we have no continuing city here? And so what we do, we want to build relationships, we want to build people up, and we want to encourage people, and we want to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ, that we make it to heaven and we take others with us. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Father in heaven, tonight, it is so good to feast from your word. There are so many promises that are so precious. And I pray, God, that even through these scriptures tonight, through these words tonight, that we could have each been encouraged and continue to hold on and to allow you to continue to shape us, to continue to mold us, and to say, by God's grace, there will nothing stop me. I will hold on and I will claim his promises, because we know that we will have the victory when you come back to claim your own, and we can live in heaven with you forever and ever.